I don't know how many of them invited me to come preach for them, and that always makes me feel so little. If you know, just knew where the Lord broke me from. But I thank Him. Several men's asked me to come to their churches, and that's a blessing. And I told you the first night, I've always tried to respect the pastor. I have the name most of the places I've ever been. That one thing about Brother Burns, he respects the pastor. I usually say when I get there, I always tell Brother Herbert, come over there now. You're my pastor this week. If you lead me wrong, that'll be your fault. But it's been so good. I trust the Lord. Let us come back another year. I told somebody this afternoon, I pastored a church that a man had pastored for 26 years, and his 78th birthday came, and we fixed him a birthday dinner, the ladies did, and invited him to come back and preach. And I won't never forget what he got up and said, and I was several days younger then than I am now. I didn't know that that time would come when I'd be getting away over that way. He got up a crying, and he said, folks, he said, the only thing that hurts me about getting what folks call old, he said, one of these days you'll send me word or come after me or get me word. His name was Edwards, and he said, Edwards, he said, Brother Edwards, would you come and preach funeral or meeting? And he said, I'll have to say, I can't come. And he just bawled. And I can understand a little of that now. But I trust that the Lord will let me go a good long time longer. We was talking about the Lord coming this afternoon, and you hear people say, I tell you, things are so terrible. I just wish the Lord had come on. Now, I believe if that's all you want to come for, you're a coward. I don't want Him to come just to get me out of this mess. I'll tell you what I would like to do. I'd like to get close enough to Him till I could pray for Him to come just so I could be with Him. Yeah. Now, if you're just wanting Him to come so you can get out of this mess, you just ought to have to stay in it. But He's good, and He'll come in time. Before it gets to where we can't carry on, He'll come. Sure as a while.
Yep.
I've done a lot of praying. The brother said something last night about closing out a camp meeting on a high note. And I don't know whether you preachers ever think about this or not, but do you know, you can go through nearly every camp meeting and nobody preaches on hell. And there's a hell.
Yes, sir. Yep.
A literal burning hell.
Yes, sir.
And God wouldn't let me alone about it. And I asked Him, after I got to where I felt like that's all He would want me to preach, not to let nobody else fool with it. And as far as I know, they haven't. And I want to talk to you about hell. The Bible hell. Did you know that Jesus preached, I'd say, almost twice or maybe a little more than twice about hell than He did heaven? Look at every bit of it in the Bible. Search through all the accounts of the gospel. Now, we say this, and it's not right. There's not four gospels.
No.
There's four men gave an account of the one gospel.
Yeah,
and you go through all four of them, and you'll find that Jesus preached more about hell, and He preached more about hell than any of the apostles.
Yes.
And He sure preached more about hell than the average preacher does today.
Yes.
And yet, hell's a reality. I want to just read to you what all the people that preach on this read from the 16th chapter of the gospel according to Luke, and then I want to talk to you about some things about this, and I trust that if you're here and lost without Christ, and if you're saved and you have a kind of a cold attitude toward the unsaved, I trust that God will do something for your heart. Verse 19 in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 16 said, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores." Now, a lot of preachers just preach and they talk about parables and they preach this as a parable. It's not a parable. Parables don't give names. Somebody said, "What is a parable?" And I can't just exactly tell you, but I'll tell you what my definition is. It's an earthly happening with a heavenly meaning. That's what a parable is. Verse 21 said, "And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover," or instead of that, "the dogs came and licked his sores. Came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then," he said, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Shall we pray? Our Father, we bow before you again tonight, realizing that you never tire of the petitions of your children. Lord, I need you. This is a serious message. It's the Word of God, and it's true. Lord, I realize that Satan don't want it mentioned. This is his destination. And he wants it to be the destination of all people that he can cause to go there. And I pray that you'd rebuke every demon spirit out of the place that would hinder people, that people's minds could be centered upon what the Word of God is saying. And then the Holy Spirit of God would convey the message to the heart of that individual that needs it the worst. Lord, I pray for every saved person that has a cold spirit and a cold heart toward a lost world. I pray you'd help us, Lord, that know that we'll never have to taste any of this terrible punishment because our blessed Lord has already tasted it for us. But help us, Lord, to realize as we think about him tasting it for us, he tasted it for every other lost person. Lord, it's our business to get them word, the good news that Christ has died and that he arose and that he's coming again. I pray for such pungent conviction, Lord, that we might have the privilege tonight to see some dear soul, some precious soul to you that maybe people don't think so much about, and the Holy Ghost would grab them in such a manner
Lord, that even while we're trying to preach, they'd break away from where they are and come running down this altar place and cry out to God for mercy and trust the blood of the Son of God that cleanses from all sin. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. First, I want to talk to you just a minute or two about what hell is not. Hell is not just a state of mind. Now, there is a cult that teaches that all hell is, and every time hell is mentioned, it's figurative. Hell, the Bible said, is a place. A real place. There's real people there. It's not a state of mind. And it's not just separation of soul and body. It's a place where the soul of man goes at death. The Bible said nothing, no in between. It just said the rich man died and in hell he lifted up his eyes. There is no intermediate. There is no purgatory. Anything that the devil can hatch up and put in the minds of people to get people's minds off of what the reality of hell is, he wants to do that. But we better hear God. It's not that. And it's not cessation of life. It's just a change of stations. It's not annihilation. When Jesus, or God, breathed into the nostrils, when he made the man out of the dust of the ground, and when I suppose, thinking about it, he just stooped down and said, and that thing stood up, a living soul. And that'll never cease to be. Somewhere that'll always be that person. So, you see, the Bible is too clear if we just take the Bible. Somebody said, I don't understand what the Bible means. It means what it says. That's what it means. It says what it means and means exactly what it says. There's something about this place called hell. It was not prepared for humanity. For if there could be anybody that had just a little touch of hyper-Calvinism in you, let me give you a little something, and nobody told me this. Hell was not created. I never thought of that. Well, go read the creation and you will find out. There's no hell in the creation. There is no hell. Well, did God not know Adam? Oh, yes, God knew Adam had sinned, but God fixed this thing so man would be responsible. If he had created a hell in the beginning, then somebody woke up there in hell, they'd have said, oh, yeah, it was already fixed. You had this fixed for me. The Bible said in Matthew 25:41, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, not created. Yeah, you tell the hyper-Calvinists that and see what they think about it. It wasn't created. There was no hell in the creation. Pretty serious. It was not God's intention that any human being go to hell. He had it prepared for the devil and his angels. But you see, God made provision through the sacrifice of his Son that human beings didn't have to go there. They don't anybody have to go to hell. Men go to hell, women go to hell, boys and girls go to hell simply because they refuse to repent of sin and accept God's provided remedy for salvation. To me, it's serious. Real serious. I have just a few things here that I put down, scriptures. Back in the 5th chapter of the book of Isaiah, way back there, Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 11, the Bible said, "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. The harp and the vial and the tabret, the pipe and wine are in their feast. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hand. Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge. Their honorable men are famished, their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself, and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory, and their multitude, and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it." Hell hath enlarged herself. Why? Because after God prepared it for the devil and his angels, people got to dropping off in there because they refused to come to God his way, and it's been enlarged and opened its mouth. You know, there's a place somewhere, I can't recall where it is, but it talked about Lucifer, the devil. And it talked about when he drops off in there, and they'll say to him, "Are you not the one that shook the nations? Are you not the one that caused all the commotion back yonder?" And then it went on and said, "It stirreth up the dead for thee."
Yeah.
Now, if every time a soul drops off into hell, if there comes a stirring, brother, see them a constant stir tonight.
Yeah.
We stayed in Missouri one year, and we went to a fish hatchery one day. Some people carried us down to a fish hatchery. And laying out there in the water, not too deep, and you could see those fish, you could see their fins, and they were laying there just as still as could be. But you throw a little stick out there, and that whole pool became a working mass. And this thing, this came to me, that's exactly the way it is in hell. Hell is in a constant stir tonight. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 7 and 8, 13 and 14, chapter 20, verse 13 and 14, said, "And the sea gave up the dead which in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever," every individual, "was not found written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire." And I looked that word "cast" up, and it means to thrust out forcefully. Bad enough to just drop off into hell, but it's terrible to be bound and thrust off in there. Somebody said, "I can't understand a God like that. I can't understand a God that would robe himself in a body of flesh and come down here and be spit upon. If Jesus was not God, we have no Savior." Jesus was God. Jesus said, "When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and my Father are one." I can't understand. And somebody said, "God turned his back on his Son. God abandoned his Son." If he had just turned his back, the Son would have not cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He completely abandoned him for that time. He couldn't have died if he hadn't have done it. What is he doing? Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9 said, "He, Christ, by the grace of God tasted death for every man." And that was the second death. You and I, If Jesus don't come, you and I'll have to taste the first death. But I praise the name of the Lord. If our name's written in glory, we'll never have to taste the second death. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, tasted it for us.
Amen.
I've thought about this over and over and over. I remember one man in the hospital, what was the old Hillman Hospital, the charity hospital in Birmingham. And the doctors told his two sisters he'd never been married. He was a preacher. Godly, precious man. Crippled up, lived a terrible life, and got saved, and God called him to preach. But the doctor said for 3 days to the sisters, he's dying. He's dying. Died for 3 days. But what is 3 days? In hell, men are dying and dying and dying. In 10 million years, they're still dying and they can't die. God help us.
Amen.
I've got a daddy there. I believe that's one of the reasons I preach like I preach. My daddy, I wake up in the night. My daddy was a mean man. My daddy mistreated my mother, tried to kill me, but I love my daddy. And I wake up in the night, and I think about my daddy yonder in hell, screaming, everybody around him screaming. If hell's not a reality, heaven's not a reality. In chapter 21, Revelation, verse 13 and 14. Yes. Said, but the fearful and the unbelieving. Let me stop. You know who the fearful are? They're not drunkards and whoremongers. They're just people that has refused to exercise faith in the Lord Jesus. The word fearful there means faithless. The faithless. The unbelieving. The unbelieving. All that kept these people from going to heaven, they refused to repent and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So they're just unbelievers. But listen, and there's good people call themselves good. They wouldn't know where this, no way in this world they'd have anything to do with this rest of this. Not only the fearful, the unbelieving, but the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The folks, now, I don't feel this. I don't have any axe to grind nobody. But I say nothing. I say just as near nothing about this as I can about degrees in hell. I don't know too much about it. I know there's just one hell, and it's a literal lake of fire and brimstone. And everybody that goes there, they go for the same reason. Because they refuse, they reject that God has so freely offered. Well, I wouldn't want to live with that bunch. I wouldn't either. I did. But I wouldn't want to now.
Amen.
And I praise the Lord. I won't never have to on whatever I'm around while I'm here. But I'm telling you tonight, this is serious business. And the devil fights me harder when God begins to deal with me about this message. The devil fights me harder, preacher, than anything in the book. I said there's a literal hell. You go in the 27th chapter, go into the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. There's enough there that ought to cause anybody in the world to run to Jesus, to think about how terrible what all he went through. In Isaiah chapter 53, for just a moment, I didn't have that marked, but I need to read just a little of it. Verse 1 said, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. What does that mean? Mary was one of the last descendants of David. The lineage had almost run out. And then God picked out over yonder a little virgin. Virgin woman, one of the last of the descendants of David. Chose her, and the Holy Ghost overshadowed her. And she conceived in her womb and brought forth our Savior, God in flesh. A root out of a dry ground. The ground, I remember, we had a place in our on our land when I was a kid. And it was the poorest land on the place. I remember after I got saved and I got to reading this, nearly every year, right up on that poor hillside, there'd be a bunch of bare grass come up. Nothing else would grow. But right up in the middle of that bare grass would come up one of the most beautiful white flowers that you ever looked at. And I'd get a picture of this every time I seen it. A root out of a dry ground. You know what? If the lineage had to run out and there was three times that there was just one left. Three different times there was just one left in the lineage. I imagine the devil looked down and said, if I can get that, I've got it. But thank God he couldn't get that. The Bible said the scriptures cannot be broken. He hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. No. Still not. He's despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. That song that they sing, and I ought to be a guy, I love good songs. I love the kind of songs that's been sang here, every one of them. But they sang that song, I saw the face of Jesus. The smile on his face was so real. There's not a scripture in this Bible that tells anywhere he ever smiled. I don't say he didn't. I just said there's not a place the Bible said he did. He walked in the shadow of the cross from the time he was born. He came into this world to die. Was somebody talking about this searched all over heaven? God help us. He was the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Wasn't no afterthought. Surely, surely, he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. You know what the word smitten means? Slaughter. Slaughter. You mean God? When Jesus hung on the cross, he was a lamb, but he was more than that. He was the sacrifice. I think about imputation. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, Adam's sin was imputed to the entire human race. The reason that little 3-month-old baby gets mad and turns red, it's got that hellish spirit in it. Somebody said, is it lost? No. Is it saved? No. It's safe.
Amen.
S-A-F-E.
Amen, brother.
Until that day that the Holy Ghost awakens that child to the fact it's a lost sinner and finds out that Jesus had died for its sin, and then it's a sinner by choice.
Amen.
Smitten of God. They couldn't have touched him. He came to die. He did many, many miracles. He opened the eyes of the blind. He unstopped the ears of the deaf. He raised the dead. But that's just byproducts. He came to die that you and I wouldn't have to go to hell and burn forever. Wounded. Wounded. Somebody said the scars. No, the wounds are still there. They didn't heal up. The wounds are still there. For our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we're healed. All we, everyone, have turned everyone, we've gone astray, turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity. That word iniquity, that's that inherent sin that we inherited. And God laid on his son, I believe it's 2 Corinthians 5:21, said he that knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God was punishing sin in the body of his son. I don't know this, but I believe it was Constantine, one of the historians, said there was over 500 wounds in that sinless body, beaten into a pulp. I was thinking about the crown of thorns. I believe they maybe twisted a cord or something, and they stuck those thorns from the inside out. It wasn't the sharp end of those thorns. They wouldn't have cut the flesh. But if you ever go out in the woods, you try this. You find you a good-sized thorn bush, and you take one of the thorns that's died, and it's dried, and pull it down. And it'll pull out of that thing, and it's just as hard, that's left on that thorn, as hard as a mule's hoof. That's what cut his brow. God help us. Help us. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. I've got a picture in my mind. I can't verify this scripture just verse by verse, but I believe Barabbas and the two thieves that were crucified with him, I believe they were all three, possibly cell by cell. The morning came for the crucifixion. The turnkey, if some of you fellas ever been in jail, the turnkey came down, and this criminal over here heard the key click in the lock. And he realized, I'm fixing to take the death march to be killed. And just say Jesus was in the middle cell. And they took the one off out of the other side. And Barabbas is in here. And he don't understand. I imagine he walked from side to side of that cell, hardly breathing, listening every minute. They'll be back after me in a minute. I've already been convicted. I'm a criminal. There's nothing left for me but death. Time goes by. Maybe he can hear some noise, and he knows there's something going up all up on the hill. And after a while, the turnkey comes again and clicks the lock. Don't even have any handcuffs to put on Barabbas. And he said, Barabbas, come out here. Said, look yonder. That man on the middle cross is dying where you are supposed to die. When he died there where Barabbas was supposed to die, he died there where W.W. Burns was supposed to die. He died there where you ought to have died. Yeah. I don't want him. You will want him. You may wait till you wake up in hell, but one day you'll want him.
That's right.
Amen. Tonight you can have him. In that day you can't have him. Somebody said, and it's true, somebody said Judas kissed the door of heaven and went to hell. And he did just that.
Amen.
Jesus said, I'm the door. And Judas kissed him and said, the one that I kissed, you take him.
Right.
I've even thought about this. Of all the people that comes by, taking the death march off into hell, Judas that walked with him 3.5 years, and still died and went to hell. And Jesus has got to come by the white throne judgment and go off into hell. But it'll not be mercy then. The same one that died for Judas, the one that died for you and I, died for Judas. Somebody said Judas couldn't have been saved. I don't believe that. The Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter 2 about 3 different times that the Lord would have all men to be saved. All men to receive the knowledge and come to the knowledge of the truth. All men. It's not God's will that you die lost. But there's just one way. Just one way. You don't get to God by the church. You don't get to God by baptism. You get to God by coming by His Son.
Amen.
No man cometh to the Father except by me, Jesus said. When I think about how he suffered hanging on that cross and how he was mistreated before he got there, I wouldn't want to try to go around him.
Amen.
I feel like crawling up and crawling under the cross yet to get to God.
Amen.
But I praise the name of the Lord. He opened the door that I could go straight to God.
Amen.
You blame everybody else here for your plight. If the preacher's what he ought to be, if the deacon's what they ought to be, if the Sunday school teacher's what they ought to be. But hear me, as much as I believe I'm here, I believe that day when the white throne judgment scene comes, I believe Christ Himself will be sitting on that white throne. And I believe He'll sit where men comes by, they'll have to see the wounds. They'll have to see where the sword pierced his side. And they'll have to admit, that was for me, but it's too late. There ain't no way. There's no way that any man can describe the glories of heaven. But there's no way a human being can describe the horror of hell. I sat one day in a great large church. 3 preachers had part in the man's funeral. I had already spoken. One of the other preachers had. And we sat down together and the third man was talking. And the preacher gouged me with his elbow. And he said, "Preacher, do you know something?" He said, "If God hadn't have been so merciful that He veiled our nervous system," he said, "if we could get the full impact of what our loved ones that had died lost are going through, we couldn't stand it. We'd go berserk. We'd break up." But it's not God's will that any perish, but all come to repentance. Hell. Oh, God help us. I say this without fear of hesitation. I don't believe, I can't say I know, I don't believe we'll ever get this many people together and every one of them born again. I don't believe that. I believe there's somebody here in this building tonight, if you was to topple out of your seat, dead, you'd be in hell before the person next to the other side of the pew could get to you. Oh, yes. Yes. And there, nobody will blame anybody else. I'm to blame. I refused. We have the picture, two men down on the cross, representative of all men. We have a man dying there on the cross of rejection. Looked over at the Savior and said, "If thou be the Son of God, come down, save yourself and us. If thou be." You don't never get saved with that attitude.
Mm-mm.
No, that's the cross of rejection. But we see the other man on the other side just as condemned as that one. And he looked around at him and he said, "Do you not fear God? Do you not realize that we're in the same condemnation? This man hath done nothing amiss." He done whatever sinner will have to do before he gets saved.
He did.
He confessed he was getting exactly what he deserved. He confessed that Jesus Christ was the righteous one. Cross of reception. That's the kind, that's the whole world. Rejectors and receivers. On the middle cross, we see redemption.
Amen.
Cross of redemption. Dying. I started to mention that imputation. The sin of Adam was imputed unto every person born from then till now. Every person's born a sinner. Don't go off now till I explain that to you. The baby's not lost. It's not saved. It's saved. But then that dark day, thunder, when Jesus died, God imputed the sin of every human being to him. But oh, the blessed day, that even though it was the darkest night of my life, that glorious night that I bowed in his presence and called on him, he imputed unto me all the righteousness, all the holiness, all and convict him, put him in jail. You can let him out on probation, but there's a record kept. You can let him stay on probation a while and give him a parole, but there's still a record kept. But if you can get it brought back to a trial and the judge said he's justified, they tapped the record. Brother, you talk about something making you want to shout. To your sorrow. The first full-time church that I ever pastored, I stayed there 4 years. There was a man in the church, and I believe if I'm not correct, I'm close to correct, I believe he said he'd been in the church 52 years. There had been a church up above there, and it had got too small, and they came down and built a larger church, and I'm sure he told me that he had been a church member there 52 years. One time we had 14 deacons there, and we'd have a deacons meeting, and every time we had a deacons meeting, this man was different to everybody. Now, as a young preacher, and I'd go home almost weeping, and I'd tell my wife, "Honey, I can't understand this. He comes up with some of the most absurd things, wanting to put people in office and this and that. I don't understand this." And I left. Another man came and stayed 2 years, and then they called one of the best friends that I ever had in the ministry. It was a daddy to me when I started preaching.
While he was there, this man got bad sick. And they took him to the hospital. He had, I believe, 5 children, had 2 twin girls and another girl and 2 sons. And 4 of them had families. And one day, word came from the hospital. All the children be there the next morning. And he sent Brother A.F. Powell, that was his pastor, he's in glory tonight, sent word for Brother Powell to come. The children all got around the bed. Brother Powell said he was standing back behind the children, the grandchildren. He looked all around to see that it was all there. And he said, "Children, I want to tell you something. I'm fixing to die. And I'm going to hell. I've held practically every office in the church." He looked at Brother Powell and he said, "Preacher, I didn't send for you to come pray. There's no need to pray." He said, "I know exactly when the Holy Spirit left me for the last time." And Brother Powell said he was as conscious as he'd ever talked to him. I wondered why every morning when the school bus, about school bus time, he went out to the church and he stayed there while the children all gathered there to catch the bus. And I don't know whether it was that morning or another time while he was there in the hospital, and he confessed why he was going out there. He was going out there to look at those girls, and he said, "Lust, lust. Could hardly keep his hands off of them." He had all offices. Listen, listen. I don't know nothing about my first birth. They've told me some things about it. But I know about this second birth.
Amen.
If you've never been to that, brought to that place, that you rather have peace with God as to have anything else, you can't have it.
Right. Amen.
You don't come to God with reservations. Somebody said, "Oh, I seen the flames of hell." I didn't. I knew it was out there, but I saw myself in bondage. I saw myself in slavery. I tried to quit cussing. I tried to this, and I tried that, and I couldn't do it. I was helpless. The more I tried, the bigger mess I made out of it. And I threw myself upon the mercy of God without any reservation.
Yeah.
I wanted peace.
Amen.
Now the Lord didn't say everybody shout. Jesus said, "My peace I live with you, leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives." The peace came into my heart that Monday night I never knew existed.
Amen.
Amen.
The devil, I thought he was going to kick all the weatherboarding off of this thing I'm living in, but he's never disturbed that peace that's down out of life.
Amen.
There's something wrong. There's a possibility. You've never known him. Oh, but what would people think if I walked down these aisles and confessed I was lost? What are they going to think when you walk by the white throne judgment? You'll confess there that you're lost, but it won't do any good. Preacher, I know you don't think, but see, I can't preach according to what you think.
Well,
I can't do that. Oh, we've had such a good spirit. But this message may take roots after we've all scattered.
You got that right.
But let me tell you this. Just in case you should be here and lost, and you go on and die lost, they want one drop of your blood drip off of my hands. I'm confident. I'm confident. There's somebody here lost. The night Every person sitting here will be conscious somewhere. Just as conscious as you are now. This man, this rich man, had the same five senses that he had before he died. Could see, he could hear, he could talk, he could feel, and he could remember.
Fine.
I believe every person, the Bible said, hell is a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And I believe every time two people bump together down there, I can't imagine what they'll be saying to one another. No way. They'll be conscious. Every time anybody ever said a word to them about the Savior, every time anybody came by, handed them a tract, and they read on there about the Lord, they'll remember every bit of that.
Right.
Abraham said, son, remember.
Right.
Oh, you had it fine back yonder. Somebody said, I wonder why he just personated Lazarus to go tell his brothers. I believe the reason, I believe Lazarus had told him.
I believe so too.
I believe Lazarus had told him a few times. If you'd have said something to that rich man about having a prayer meeting at one of those brothers' house while he is here, he'd have hooted at you. Yeah. We're from a different kind of family. We don't have nothing to do with that. But as soon as he lifted up his eyes in hell, his memory went back to them five brothers, back yonder lost, headed for the same place. Oh, but it said, if somebody rose from the dead, they'd repent. Abraham said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, they wouldn't hear the one rose from the dead. If you won't hear the gospel of the Son of God and repent and trust Christ, if an angel walked in at that door with a spotted suit on, came down here and told you exactly what I'm saying, you wouldn't believe.
Right.
How you know the Bible said you wouldn't?
Right.
It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching.
Amen.
Preaching!
Yes.
I believe in preaching.
Yes.
I believe God calls preachers.
Amen.
And I'm sort of the opinion them that he calls will preach.
Amen.
Now just them that decides to enter the ministry, I don't know too much about them.
Amen.
But I believe everyone that God calls to preach will preach. Oh, think about this. I've seen some precious sights. I had the privilege one time with another preacher. I got a preacher to help me. I had the privilege to baptize 8 men and their wives. 16 people. We stood man and wife side by side. I stood on one side. He stood on the other. They locked their arms in here and we buried them in the little Cahaba River together. But think about joining hands and dropping off into hell. God help us. My mother's in heaven. Have no question. She's waiting. She used to wait. Didn't know when I was coming. She's waiting now. She don't know the day or the hour, but she knows when I'm coming. When I quit living down here, I'm coming. It's fixed. My heart's fixed, oh God.
Yes.
He fixed it.
Yeah.
Hell. Oh, mercy. I don't know why Jude said the blackness of darkness. Can you imagine that? Looked like either one would have been bad enough. Why in the world is it so terrible till he set a place of blackness, of darkness? not prepared for human. You know, I used to wonder, and I believe the Lord let me know one morning about 4 o'clock. I never had any idea. I couldn't figure out what that 7-day period was in the book of Genesis after the ark was completed. Yet 7 days. 7 is the number of perfection. And I believe that was an added 7 days grace period.
Yes, sir.
Just added time,
yeah,
of mercy. And would you stop and think with me just a minute? We tonight might be in that 7-day period.
Right.
It may not be just exactly 7 days, but God may be giving just a little, another space of grace before the rapture.
Right.
Now, I don't dispute this. This may be exactly right, but I don't have any scripture for this. Now, somebody said just as soon as the last soul that was saved to make up the body, he'd come. Now, that sounds all right, but I can't find the scripture that exactly says that. So we could possibly be in that little added time of grace. God don't want people to go to hell. He's proved that. My, the multitude that's going. I wonder if this trio would be so kind as to come sing an invitation hymn. I believe, if you will, I believe the Lord will bless that. Sometimes, you know, we take a songbook and we get up behind it and we actually sing off conviction. And I want you to have all the opportunity that God will give you. I want every Christian, if you've ever prayed in your life, pray. Pray. You know, there's twice in the Bible, and I believe I see that today in our services. There's twice in the Bible it said the children have come to the birth, and there's no strength to bring forth. Used to, when you gave an invitation after a message like this, you'd see saved people weeping tears, and they'd be praying with all the sincerity of their heart. And even, and somebody said that won't do for today. I've seen mothers start toward a son weeping like a baby, and before they'd get to that son would make a break and pile them off her. Somebody said if you go to them in church, you'll run them off. Where are you going to run them to? They're already on the road to hell.
Yes, sir.
If you've lived like a Christian in them and you're going with a broken heart, you can help them. But we quit, the devil's hoodwinked us on a lot of things that God has used. While we stand, while we sing, if the Holy Spirit has given you any desire to know the Savior, please come. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? Be honest. Oh, but I am ready. But wouldn't it be a something if you put it off and put it off and you got ready and he wasn't ready? If you was pleading with him like he's pleading with some of you, he'd save you in a minute. Will you come? Will you come? I wonder if one of you ladies had come pray with this lady. Thank you. with that brown coat on there. I don't know what her trouble is. You must be. You must be. But I don't have to. You don't have to. You can go to hell. But if you ever expect to go to heaven, you must be born again. Oh, God help us. God help us tonight.